This Iditarod 2005 update is brought to you by Nome Dental Office, by Bering Air, by the Polar Cafe and Glue Pot, by Dr. Phil Schobert and the Natural Health Chiropractic Center, by Credit Union One, by Alaska Satellite Communications, by Milano's Pizzeria, and Morgan Sales and Service. Stay tuned for ongoing Iditarod 2005 updates.
All right, this is an Iditarod 2005 update. Let's head downtown where
we have Josh. We have Lon's out. We have Irene and Dennis as well. So are you there, guys?
Oh, we're definitely here. We're excited. What a beautiful day. I mean, it started out bitterly cold this morning, about 20 degrees, 100% humidity. We had some snog. Some random snow fog in the area.
That's called?
Yeah, well, that's what I call it. You can call it whatever you want. You can call it
freezing
fog or
frog.
And here comes John Little. He's going to be joining us here in the podium in just a second. So we have word that there is another. Oh, I see whoopee lights at the end of the block. I see a police escort, meaning the newest dog team is coming down the street. Oh, don't leave, John. We've got. Come on up here. So we do have another team of mushers heading down the street. And, John, do you know whose arrival is imminent? We need a microphone for him. So just hang there for a second. Maybe we'll go to Josh Rogers, who is standing by on the edge of the crowd.
Yes, I am.
Or maybe Lon Swanson can give us a BIP number.
I'm trying to work my way up here.
We seem to be striking out rather horrendously at this point.
About 5 minutes ago,
Paul Gephardt finished, yes, and his team went off with wild applause, off there to shoot.
Successfully.
Didi Genro. Probably, according to our expert, John Little, it's probably Didi Genro, because the next two people both have 10 dogs, and they couldn't see the bib number, so we were a little short of information.
It looks like powder blue.
Okay, it does look like powder blue, even from this distance. You have amazing eyesight.
And powder blue is the
Do you want to relinquish your headset just for a little bit? And there you go. Slip that on.
Sure thing. Just to let our listeners know real quick, the eighth place finisher was Jesse Royer in 10 days, 1 hour, 3 minutes and 30 seconds. There was the missing link. Paul Gephardt in ninth, who just finished a little bit ago, in 10 days, 1 hour, 24 minutes, and 20 seconds. So this will be Didi Genro coming down the street.
That is exactly correct, and that was confirmed by John Little. John, thanks for joining us here on the podium.
Well, it's going to be very short-lived because Didi's running some dogs that are out of my
oh, really?
Line.
Okay.
She bought them from Dean Osmar, but they're from one of my dogs, and I want to go see if she's still
there. I don't blame you a bit, but thanks for dropping by, and come back again.
I will.
Okay. All right. Thanks, John Little, stopping by. Been loving your columns, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Just great stuff. Really appreciate it. So he's going to go down to the chute and see Didi as she comes in. And we should have Josh Rogers standing by in the chute as well.
I'm over here, yes.
There he is. He's across the way.
Can you hear
Josh,
me?
Josh.
Yes. I don't think Dennis can hear me.
You know, if you plug Josh, push telephone.
Apparently not. There we go.
Push telephone.
We can all communicate.
There we go.
It's beautiful. I was talking earlier, guys, but you couldn't hear me.
Yeah,
wow.
It's a beautiful thing.
Isn't this amazing?
Yes.
So I'm standing and looking at Didi Genro. She's going to hit me with her dogs if I don't move here in a couple minutes.
So, step back.
I'll sit back under behind the fence.
Absolutely.
So we had some folks here from the Kenai Peninsula I was going to talk to, but they escaped because they wanted to go take some pictures. So maybe we'll find some other spectators to talk
to. Here come her chute. Her dog's down the chute.
That's wonderful.
Some of these are from John Little's kennel that she bought from him, I guess, last year or the year before. He wanted to get out and greet her. She's a crowd favorite here in Nome, I'll tell you that. Didi Genro, number 29, as her dog's nose first under the Iditarod arch.
Yes.
She plants her hook, and she's going to go up, moves up a little bit further. And always good to see Didi in town. She'll also be speaking at the Nome Covenant Church coming up this Sunday. So that should be fun, too.
Don't miss that.
No, absolutely not.
I don't want
not.
To.
And they're showing her life story at the Covenant Church every day at 1 o'clock, I believe.
Oh, wow.
Correct? So, yes, they have a DVD they're playing. So let's see if we can get pick up Didi here live through the Iditarod checker microphone. Boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. This crowd just loves when Didi comes to town. And her dogs look really good. She's got 10, and they're still, not one has laid down yet, so they I'm sure they're tuckered out, but they seem to be thrilled by having the crowd here so close.
Crowd people here asking for dog booties.
Oh, yeah.
All
oh, yeah.
Favorite souvenirs. Lots of kids
yeah,
back here.
Yep. I wanted to get them to throw one up here, but I don't think they go that far.
No.
Well, it would be fun, though, at the dinner, and also there's a Saturday, I believe, an autograph day.
Well, that should be fun.
Get some of her booties, and she'll autograph them for you. That's really fun. I've sent a lot of Dee Dee John Rowe booties all over the country.
So she's going through and feeding her dogs right now. So that's exciting before she gets the official check-in.
I have to take care of those dogs first.
What was her official finish position?
10th.
10th. Okay, 10th. Well, she has actually moved up from this morning, hasn't she?
That is correct.
I saw like she was like 12th or 13th earlier today. So, boy, she's made good time here in Denome.
Yeah, right at, let's see here, 3 hours?
Yeah.
Left safety at 12:46.
That's pretty good.
A little under 3 hours.
Right,
of course, we expect Ellie Zirkel at any moment as well. Ellie Zirkel,
oh, okay.
Trail Dee Dee John Rowe.
I see the street.
I see whoopee
yep.
lights. Yep.
Well, we could
yep.
have two teams here in the shoot. Here.
Yeah.
You never
yeah.
know. It could be Martin Boozer. He trailed them. He trailed Zirkel by... let's see, it looks like 18.
Does Lon have a fix, a bib number, number of
dogs? Let's see what Lon's got. We'll
okay.
go to Lon.
Okay, let's go to Lon.
Hey, Lon, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, what do you know?
Well, I know Jeff King just passed Farley's camp. He crossed the road here, and he's on his way down.
Okay.
So, but I haven't seen Martin Boozer yet.
Jeff King passed Farley's camp. You didn't see him anywhere along the way there?
Who, Martin?
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen him yet.
Oh. Okay.
So, yeah, Jeff King was way out when I got here. His sled is pretty recognizable. So he's the one that he's standing in the middle of it. So it's customized sled.
All right, sounds good. Well, we'll look to check back with you here, and hopefully. Find out what the Martin Boozer situation is. All right, let's head them back downtown.
Okay, we're back downtown. Another group of dogs just about to enter the chute in front of the Nome Nugget newspaper. And I'm still having trouble seeing a bib number.
I
would imagine it's 28.
It looks like number 28. Yeah, I'd go with 28. That works for me. Is that Martin?
No, 28, Ellie Zirkel.
Oh, okay.
Martin Boozer is 78.
Oh, 78. Ah, there's the confusion. Okay, here comes Ellie Zirkel.
Time in the chute.
10 dogs as well. All
they
right.
They just cleared Dee Dee's dogs out here of the
yep.
underneath the arch.
Yep. Now, did they get a full check-in with her, or did they have to go back and recheck
like
her?
A pretty expedited check-in.
Okay, all right.
Got to do a clear-in and a clear-out.
All right.
See if we can get any of Allie here checking in. Going in, she's feeding her dogs right now.
Allie and Dee Dee greeting each other. So much camaraderie among all the mushers. It's really wonderful. They'll all stop and help each other along the way if they need to.
I imagine so. You know, you're kind of out there.
You're kind of on your
own.
Do
so,
her
yeah.
dogs get in a fight?
Oh, yes.
You got more fans asking for dogs.
Do you get a booty, Josh? You could use it for a windscreen.
I got one over in Unilever. I think I'm okay.
Come on, use the booty as a windscreen, Josh.
the dog's eating some fish right now.
What type of fish?
I don't know.
Frozen chum.
Just frozen chum. All right, guys. Well, let's see here. So we just got Zirkel in. So our next expected musher is, I would imagine, Jeff King has been spotted at Farley's camp. I'm not sure if maybe Boozer slipped the net of Lon on the way out there or not, but I kind of doubt it. So
a little net that is Lon Swanson.
Yeah. So
he's our net.
So Jeff King passed Farley's camp at 3:45. I realized this morning when I said it was going to take them 20 minutes from their that I was quite delusional.
If they have the wind at their back, and it's
in
a hurricane.
Snow machine, maybe.
A little incorrect.
So, let's see, we're probably more like an hour's time or so there for Jeff King. So, in 3:40 or 4:45 or so, we could probably look to see Jeff King under the Burled Arch.
Okay.
All right, well, guys, let's see here. You want to take a listen to a song?
I would love to hear some music.
All right, sounds good. We've got Buck Del Ketty, One More Valley.
This Iditarod 2005 update is brought to you by Nome Dental Office, by Bering Air, by the Polar Cafe and Glue Pot, by Dr. Phil Schobert and the Natural Health Chiropractic Center, by Credit Union One, by Alaska Satellite Communications, by Milano's Pizzeria, and Morgan Sales and Service. Stay tuned for ongoing Iditarod 2005 updates.
All right, this is an Iditarod 2005 update. We've got
people on the scaffolding. We've got Josh on his arrival natural scaffolding, and Lon Swanson has managed to spot some mushers for us. We had Jeff King pass Farley's camp at 3:45, and just about 5-6 minutes ago or so, he spotted a nonconformist, Martin Boozer, not wearing his bib. So it took him a little while to be sure that's who it was, but indeed it was. And Boozer down to six dogs this time, according to Lon Swanson. He checked out his safety with seven, but perhaps he has one in the sled there. So that's the story there. We're looking for Jeff King and then Martin Boozer to be our next mushers to arrive on Front Street. And Josh, it sounds like you got something going on there.
Well, he does, but he doesn't have his headphones on.
Ah, I see, I see.
He's chatting it up, but he's not able to communicate.
Ah, gotcha. And so you guys are still up on the scaffolding?
We are, yes. Yep. We have a bird's eye view. We can see all the way down Front Street to the Subway restaurant where they come off the ice up on the Front Street.
And you haven't fallen over on the scaffolding yet?
Oh, no, it's rock solid.
No,
it's steady.
Rocking solid?
It's wonderful.
No, it feels pretty good up there.
It feels, as the temperature has warmed slightly, and the heat from the weight of the people has forced the supports down to a near level position.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, very exciting.
So, Dennis, did you have some information there for us on our next mushers coming up?
Martin Boozer from Big Lake, Alaska. Now, he was born in Switzerland in 1958, and he became fascinated with sled dogs when he was just a teenager. And he came to Alaska in 1979 to enhance his knowledge of care and training of sled dogs. And he started working and training with Earl and Natalie Norris, and he ran his first Iditarod in 1980. He has two sons. He and his wife have two boys, Nikolai and Roan, and of course those are both named after Iditarod checkpoints. And they live in Big Lake. And the family owns and manages Happy Trails Kennel. So Nikolai and Roan will both be running the junior Iditarod this year. I did not hear how they did, but they were both running the junior Iditarod this year.
I believe one of them came in second.
Second?
If I'm not mistaken.
All
I'm
right.
Over here.
All of a sudden a voice, yeah, he's still looking for through the crowd to find Josh. I can't see him anywhere. We have to get him a little red flag.
Roving reporter.
Get him a red flag for his hat.
The booty windscreen, you'd be able to pick him out.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's black, so it wouldn't look that different.
Martin Boozer spends a lot of his time in personal speaking with youth on the humanitarian care of animals and talks about the spirit of Iditarod. And he's a favorite celebrity of the children of Alaska, and he treats them with surprise visits from his dogs during many of those appearances. So he always travels with a dog or two just to keep things interesting. And he runs the race each year with his dogs to test the success of their breeding, training, and physical endurance. So I was here in the year 2001 when 9/11 occurred, and Martin Boozer chose that year. He won the Iditarod and also then became a U.S. citizen here under the arch. And that was an unbelievably moving ceremony.
Wow.
When he chose America to be his country by choice, not by birth. And boy, it not a dry eye in the house as Judge Benesch read the swearing-in of citizenship to Martin Boozer. Very exciting.
Yeah, that would have been an awesome time to do it.
It was. It was twice as meaningful.
Yeah.
Just because of the historical events leading up to that.
Leo, Leo Rasmussen was talking earlier today about all the events that have gone on underneath the arch. Not just the end of the Iditarod, but end of other events as well, and numerous marriages. And legalization of citizens, and just all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, it's very interesting, all the people waiting. In fact, there's a picture of me under the arch holding my college magazine. And it actually appeared in the magazine the next month.
Neil, in Dennis, the Iditarod, of course, as we know, draws a whole lot of people into town, and I have one of those people with me. Do you want to tell us your name?
Palmer Bailey.
Palmer, where are you from?
I live near Anchor Point on the Kenai Peninsula.
Oh, yeah.
So how many times have you been up to Nome for the end of the Iditarod, or is this the first time you've been here?
This is our first time. We moved to Alaska 29 years ago, but never been to Nome, so I thought it was time we do this.
Great. So have you been down to the start to see the beginning of the Iditarod a couple times then?
Yes, we've been at the restart, so we've seen that end of it, and now we get to see the end. This is great.
What's it like to see just the end and all this whole thing, that which I'm sure you've seen on TV a couple times, and just to be here in Nome? It is an electric feeling, but what have you been able to experience?
Well, it's fun to see some of the mushers that we've known and followed at least through the years, and it's fun to see the relief and the sense of conclusion that is here. Yeah, this is an exciting place. Good time.
What else do you have planned while you're in town? Are you going to be able to get to do anything else?
Well, we're just going to take in some of the activities here and the craft fair and some of the lectures and things like this. So this is, like I said, our first time in Nome, so we're enjoying it.
All right. Well, welcome to Nome. Thanks for coming up. We're glad you're able to make it. Thanks for coming on with us.
Thanks a lot.
All right. So there's still a whole crowd of people around, and I'm sure that will grow as the afternoon continues and people get off work. But again, Martin's coming in, and I encourage anybody to come on out and join us down here on Front Street.
All right, sounds good, Josh. And, well, I think we may be hearing from Lon Swanson right now, so we'll take a moment, answer the phone, and be back after this song by the Isaacs. Don't you want to go to heaven? Or, well, we might listen to some weather as well.
Down in the lane.
This Iditarod 2005 update is brought to you by Nome Dental Office, by Bering Air, by the Polar Cafe and Glue Pot, by Dr. Phil Schobert and the Natural Health Chiropractic Center, by Credit Union One, by Alaska Satellite Communications, by Milano's Pizzeria, and Morgan Sales and Service. Stay tuned for ongoing Iditarod 2005 updates.
Another quick Iditarod 2005 update. Here we have our
spotter, Lon Swanson, out on the road. Lon, what do you have for us?
Well, Martin Boozer has just passed the transmitter site of KICY, and on his way to Swanberg Dredge. So there is a little bit of confusion. A lot of people are expecting to go from there out onto the ice from the trail, but they send you out by the transmitter site across the road because I guess the ice conditions are something kind of rough. But then they cross over and back onto the ice, and they're on there until they get to the subway.
All right. Sounds good. And so Jeff King, ahead of Boozer right now, so should be coming up on Front Street any time. Is that correct?
That's the way I understand it. Yeah, he was a little bit ahead of Martin. So, and
all right, so let's check with Josh and see if he's seen anything.
Well, word on the street is that we can expect Jeff King passing by the Roadhouse right now. So he should be in a little bit as well.
All right, sounds good. So two more mushers, two very famous mushers, just about ready to come in. So everybody would should head on down and see these two guys come in, Jeff King and Martin Boozer.
Two Iditarod legends coming in.
Legends. Very, very true. So, Lon, any more from the road?
Just that he has six dogs.
Six?
And there were a couple of snow machine people came in with four dog cages. So they must have, they were carrying, you know, more dogs back to Nome here from safety, probably.
Wow. Martin Boozer just recently dropped. I mean, he was in second when I was down in Unalakleet, and he recently dropped in the standings pretty dramatically. So it'll be interesting to find out what has happened in that that last final leg of the race that has impacted his standing so dramatically. And just, you know, he's coming in with nine fingers. Should be impressive.
I'm sure he never gets tired of the jokes about that.
Well, it's only been about a week and a half since he lost it, so or 2 weeks now as of yesterday.
Yeah.
So, very impressive.
All right, sounds good, Lon. We look to hear more from you as those two get a little bit closer.
He's crossed the road, and he's on his way to the Fort Davis Roadhouse.
That's Boozer?
Yep.
All right, those two must be getting pretty close then, so we look for an exciting finish with those two. And, all right, Lon, we'll get you on hold here, and let's take a listen to the scaffolding. What
Hello.
Do you got, guys?
We're still waiting for Jeff King and Martin Boozer to come in. We don't see them from here. They just said that Jeff King is at the Swanberg Grudge.
So we should expect to hear the alarm go off here any moment.
The siren?
The siren, yes. And the scaffolding is Dennis-less right now.
Oh.
Yep. It's me.
Well, that's great, Irene.
Irene's manning it all by herself.
That is great.
Waving to the camera for all my admiring friends.
Oh, I'm sure.
The webcam.
Nothing, yeah. Nothing better than that.
www.ireneiditarod.com.
All right, well, those guys should be getting into town here pretty quick. So let's take a listen to this quick song and be back downtown with hopefully an exciting finish with Jeff King and Martin Boozer. We've got Terry Dorsey. He'll make a way.
Here on KICY AM 850, bringing you all sorts of Iditarod fun, we have our spotter Lon Swanson out on the road.
Hey, I'm at a one-mile marker. Martin Boozer's his six dogs on his team. They're just running right along here. They've got a great pace, and they must smell home or something like that. So
the horse headed for home there.
Yes, they're looking really good. I mean, for six dogs, and so he's we're about halfway. We're coming up to the Swanberg Dredge, so.
All right, so sounds good. And if that's the case, Jeff King should be very near getting up on Front Street. We'll check with Josh.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I'm right now underneath the Brill Arch, and I am looking down Front Street and see very little sign of one Jeff King. So he's making his way. There's a huge mob of people up here, and I'm sure everybody's getting ready to welcome both Jeff and Martin because they're going to arrive around the same time, probably like we saw with Dee Janeiro and Alley Circle earlier. So, the big, huge crowd down here underneath the arch, getting ready for the two arrivals. Some of the two biggest arrivals, other than, of course, the winner of the race. So that'll be interesting to see how they felt about the race. I know both of these mushers came into the race wanting to win and expecting to win almost. I talked to Jeff King in Anchorage, and he said that he was in it to win it, and he thought he had a better team than he had last year, and last year he came in second. So I know he was really hoping to win. Didn't really get out of the top 10 or get into the top 5, really. He was kind of low in the standings pretty much the entire race. So I don't know. I was kind of expecting to see maybe him burst forward at the end, but it never really happened for Jeff King. So, well, it'll be interesting to see what happened exactly with his team this year.
That it will. So we look forward to that any time now. I was surprised that Jeff King isn't up there. If he had that much of a lead farther out of town, perhaps they're waiting for each other. So, Josh, you still don't see anything.
I looking straight down Front Street right now.
And Irene, with the bird's eye view, wouldn't have an advantage here?
I don't believe so. No.
Okay. How about Lon?
Yeah, I've got the advantage here on Boozer anyway. I guess it's just I'm waiting to see if they're gonna catch up. If Jeff's gonna let them catch up to him, and they're gonna come in together.
Perhaps that is what's going on.
Hand in hand, possibly.
Yeah.
No, dog we'll and dog, one tangled up mess.
That's
yes.
Right.
All right, well, we'll keep you posted out there, folks. We've got a couple of messages here, and then maybe a song, and we'll check back to Front Street.
All right, we got ourselves another update live from the scaffolding. What do we got, guys?
Well, we've got Jeff King just recently arrived, and he's now being checked in and being having his sled going over by the officials, and he's also being interviewed. In fact, Josh Rogers is standing by, and I think we can get Josh is getting in there.
Really would love to
here
try her again. You mentioned making a few bets along the way. I think there was a race a couple of years ago in which a reporter asked you, or maybe in the end race, if you were going to cut back on rest. And you said, I think you said that would kill me, or that would be the equivalent of killing my team or something like that. Were those bets that you made involving rest in this race?
Well, I train, I don't train, the dogs are not familiar with not resting, and I'm sure it can be trained, but it's going to be a reduction in speed. The Norwegian team seems to have tremendous strength there in training dogs to use less energy, to going slower, and you know, I can't speak for them, but I know I'm not prepared to take a dog team slowly that has not been trained to go anything but fast, and I do think that I don't have the tolerance for going the speed the dogs are not trained for, and I love going fast. If this turns into a race where to win it you have to go slow, then I'm probably going to think of something else to do. But I don't believe that. I think it's just one of the ways to get here quickly. Train to go long and slow or short and fast. There's a combination of things that can happen. I'm going to bet on the rest and go fast mode. But I tell you, seeing all the people in front of me, it's an incredible cast of champions, and immediately behind me. I had every intention of being here yesterday, but I made a promise to Martin that I would help him put booties on along the way. And so I had to keep my promise, and I've been kind of holding back, helping him out.
He's pretty close. How'd you get those little boobies on him?
Well, actually, Martin and I have been joking a lot about lots of things. One of which is, between the two of us, we have 10 good fingers. So we make a pretty good hand if we stick together. So, it's been fun. Well, no, it hasn't been fun. That's bullshit.
I was going to say, if no, it really can't be fun when you know what it's like to be a champ and you've got to really want that. And then you just see it not happening, not coming together.
Yeah, well, you know, thank goodness I've matured enough not to be devastated, because I clearly could have been, because I really do think this is the finest team I've put together maybe ever, but I just couldn't make it happen, and hence my desire to try it again. But I suspect I'll have to wait till next year.
Well, because there are no remakes on this one.
I had a hunch they wouldn't let me do a do-over.
Well, I'm guessing that Martin is pretty close to coming up on the street, so we maybe okay to check.
No, okay.
All right. Can we see your required gear, please?
Okay, they're going to do the check-in right now, so we're going
to make sure that all of the necessary gear is present for an official finish. Sleeping bag is there. Cooker, no, that is not a cooker. That is, axe is there.
All right.
Dog food I can see now. I got to have the promotional gear or Leo kill me. All right, that's stuck on. Yeah, now Martin's up on the street, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
Snowshoes. Up here.
We're going to
snowshoes in the back.
Speed this process up a little bit because Martin Boozer is approaching.
That's right. Cooker is there. And where would the heat be? I like it. All right. Jeff King, you have completed the 2005 Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race in an elapsed time of 10 days, 2 hours, 21 minutes and 20 seconds. If you'll sign in, you will officially finish 12th place.
All right, 12th place, Jeff King from Goose Lake in Denali Park. And I had a chance to drop in there last summer and actually visit with Jeff King and his kennels. His wife is a fabulous artist, a wildlife artist. She started out as a medical artist.
Oh, wow.
A detailed medical illustrator. And then got into Alaska landscapes. And
I would think that would transfer real well.
Oh, man, she is fabulous.
That's a place for wildlife, too.
Oh, yes. Yep, they have a very interesting place, and they gave us a tour of their dog lot and had a wonderful time there.
And Jeff King
Those dogs don't want to go the right way.
They want to go back.
Need a little guidance.
There we go.
They wanted to follow that truck.
This is the 22nd finish for
Martin. A lot of traffic here to distract dogs going out of the show.
Yeah. A four-time winner
between
of the
mostly the people,
sled
but
dog
a few
race,
vehicles.
Yes.
As finished in the top 10, 16 different occasions. Martin is the record holder for the time, the shortest time to finish the
Martin
race.
Martin Boozer's dogs are getting distracted down there, too.
Mm-hmm. To have broken the 9-day.
They keep wanting to go into the Chinese restaurant, I think.
The following people.
Yeah.
People are distracting them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to get this close, within 100 yards, and have your dogs go off a side street and try to park your sled where it doesn't belong.
Martin was born in Switzerland in 58, became fascinated with sled dogs.
We have a number of people here around the finish, but if you look down the street, they're all hanging out on the sidewalk or the street down the way, too.
An obvious canine distraction.
Yep.
He owns and operates the Happy Trails Kennel. His wife has two children, Nikolai and Roan, who are both named after Iditarod Trail sled dog Chex Points. It was 3 years ago that Martin became a naturalized United States citizen here at the finish after his 2002 Iditarod Trail victory.
That is Judge Ben Esch, who performed the ceremony.
Martin has been a regular winner and a regular competitor in the race for a number of years. Here he is finishing
13. Six dogs. Wow. And also a Rotarian, by the way.
Now, Dennis, can you see if he had one in his sled? He did check out a safety with seven,
Says. Right now his sled is sealed up, but they're going to open it, and there might be one, as they say, in the basket. We'll find out here in just a second.
Do you think Josh might know?
It looks like there could be
There could be a dog in there, but we don't know for sure. He's going to open it.
We need the Jack in the Box music.
And there is
not
a dog.
This
is cooler.
That could have been some of the kennels that Lon was talking about, perhaps. Although I don't know if that's a part of the rules or not. He does look very tired going through the. Going through the official checkpoint procedure.
For a man who just lost a finger, 10 days ago or so.
That's amazing.
It is absolutely astounding.
In Unalaq lately, he was didn't have any gloves on or anything. He was just going through and doing his normal business, gloveless.
Mm. Wow.
He's greeting all of his friends down here.
One of the articles online that I read talked about him not wanting to take pain medicine either because he was afraid it would give him problems when out on the trail.
Yeah, with disorientation and fatigue. And
yeah.
A lot of things that could be factored into that.
Going through actually getting out the feed bowls for the dogs this time.
Oh, look at this. Yeah, six snack bowls.
Probably a very, very tired team here.
Yeah, with just six dogs.
Martin giving the dogs a little sugar here.
Well, I'll tell you, these mushers and the dogs work together in such such extensions of one another, it's really hard to tell where the person lives off and the dog begins. Just work together, and it really is a team, starting from the lead dog all the way back to
Luna,
the musher.
Luna, come here, Luna.
All right, to add to the party, we have one radio passer, Lon Swanson, here in studio.
Oh, he's returned.
Just off the road.
All right.
So I'm back in the studio.
Well, welcome back, Lon.
Yeah, you're talking about Martin's dogs. They really looked good.
Yes,
I mean,
they do. For having just six dogs come into the line, they were looking pretty good.
Yep.
We got a loose one here.
Yeah. Oh, they got a loose dog.
I think they're all loose.
I think they're all loose now.
Yeah,
they've all been disconnected.
Take care of the dogs first, and we'll have a word with them here in just a moment.
Yep. See if we can get part of this interview.
Yeah.
Well, he got dog dishes out for him.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
A lot of them have just thrown some stuff on the snow there, but he's got dog dishes out for them.
Going all out when you have
a little napkins, too, I believe.
You got to treat the team like a championship team.
And then little place settings, little knives, forks.
I don't see any bibs on the dog.
Mm.
No,
just the musher.
Just the musher.
Interesting to me that Martin would get out the dog dishes here when in Unalakleet, when he was getting ready for his checkpoint there, he just put the dry food on the snow.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Well,
this is a special spot here.
This is special.
That's right.
Get out the fine china.
Mm-hmm. The fine china.
Hey, it's the finish line.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That's right. And it looks like right now most of the attention is going to Martin's dogs. He's thanking them for getting him safely to Nome.
Well, they've certainly done an outstanding job.
All right, so we think that the interview is imminent here.
Well, he's still thanking his dogs and feeding his dogs.
He has yet to officially sign the check-in form.
Yes.
I think we ought to go out and get each one of those dogs a caribou.
First in the cripple division.
Each one a caribou. That's a lot of meat there for a dog, Lon.
They deserve it.
Still leading the handicap division.
I can see that.
I have wolf money. Here's a good boy. Luna. Huh, Luna. Good girl. Luna, too.
This is quality entertainment right here.
Yeah, we have some words of affection there from Martin to his animals.
Good.
Stop
eating you.
All right.
Come on, that's enough. That's
Judge
enough.
Ben Esch doing
that's
the
enough.
Check-in
you.
For Martin Bruiser.
Simple Simon.
It was under this arch 3 years ago, I guess it was. But, maybe four now. Oh, my. I think it was three.
Because 9/11 was
2001
fall.
Fall. So it was 2002 if I did it. Yes.
Yes.
3 years ago.
Yeah.
Thank you for keeping my chronology in order. Seems that the older I get, the more trouble I have placing various events in my life.
Yeah.
like what I did yesterday.
We'll try to get a word with Martin here in just a couple minutes.
Well, they say it's all about the dog.
There he is.
He's really giving them a lot of attention.
Yep.
Martin recognizing Judge Ben Esch.
Yeah, the dog's just loose running around looking for more snacks.
All right, just for those out there wondering what the other mushers are up to, we got Doug Swingley. Left safety roughly an hour behind Jeff King and Martin Boozer. We have Jessica Hendricks out of safety at 2:30. And those are the only ones right now reported into and out of safety.
This might be the most challenging one. You know, in the early Iditarods, we had some weather challenges that were taxing. And the races probably weren't that hard because we were not as experienced, but this year was a big challenge. You know, I had surgery exactly 2 weeks ago, and in Roan, I didn't know whether I could make it to the finish line. My finger was almost back to its normal size, but that was because of infection, not because of reattaching it. You know, it looked really, really nasty, and some of the vets looked at it, and I doubled up on my antibiotics and kept on going because I knew we had made tentative plans with my hand surgeon to come to Iditarod. And I I was at the mercy of the dogs, really. I mean, they did this race for me, and I feel indebted, and I feel bad about their looks and their small number. But at first, certainly, I couldn't maintain a team. I just would drop whatever would have a hiccup or a hangnail, and I'd send them home. And then, of course, later on, I ran into dog problems, not having enough for the power runs in the rain and sleet and snow. And then my Canadian friend did a little U-turn on me, and that really took me off step. I think, you know, in hindsight, you always evaluate races, and some situations make or break it. And, you know, I heard that great interview with Jeff, and I would like to redo that section. So, you know, in hindsight, you can win any race. And I knew I had a big challenge ahead of me going into it, and I knew I was going to be miserable. The choice was going to be miserable at home trying to follow the race on the media, internet, and all that, or be probably even or more miserable out on the trail and trying to do a good job. And I don't know if I would still choose to go again. You know, it was a big challenge, but in the long run, I probably think it was worth it.
I mean, this was a heroic race for you.
Well,
did
I wasn't,
you characterize it that way?
No, I wasn't as heroic as becoming an American citizen in 02. You know, that was a really great race for me.
Oh, that's great.
You know, this has been bad for 15 years.
I know.
I'm going to buy. I think I'm going to buy one out of my own budget and donate it to the city of Nome. It's only been 15 years, you know.
Cutting in and out.
Yeah, maybe we can pick up a collection or something.
Leo may sell them.
Yeah.
No. No. Otherwise, it would have been replaced a long time ago.
Did the dog that went AWOL finish?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Quebec is here all the way. Yeah. And I'm going to have a bit of an altercation with him as soon as we get home. He has an anatomical over-endowment, which creates a little problem when he's running. So I promised the first thing that we do, we go see the vet together. So he'll run a little truer next year.
How did you handle all of the thousands of small duties that normally require the full use of both hands?
Well, I did we called it the permapledge. I had velcroed my hand to my left, to my heart, the first couple of days, and modified the first splint. I modified the night before the official start, freed up my pinky finger, and then I really didn't do much. What made it possible for me to come here is the weather. If it was cold, and it was painfully cold only a couple of times for my finger. I mean, it was never cold throughout the race, but it was painfully cold in just a couple of spots because of the cold. I think there was other issues, of course, infection and all that, but had it been cold, I wouldn't have been here. And then I really have to thank Jeff King for the design of the sleds, and I modified it obviously a little bit, but I call it the big hands scooping up. You know, I was going down to Dalzell Gorge one-handed, and invariably, of course, I'd bounce off a tree or I'd fall off, and with a normal sled, you'd be somewhere off into the soft snow. If you want to take them down, they can go down. But no, I had that big hand, that caboose would come from behind and just kind of grab my big butt and sit me down on the nice cushy seat and literally save me time and time and time again. And so I got down to the Rhone River checkpoint in reasonable shape, but then my finger started to work on an infection, and it was sort of a tug of war between it and nature and modern medicine was sort of debating who was going to win. And the host doubled up on the antibiotics, so the medicine won. And then I kept taking stitches out throughout the race, you know, one here, one there, and just about in every checkpoint, one of the vets helped me more with my hand than with my dog chores. I think I neglected the feet a little bit in some places. Clearly will be shown in, I dropped the dog in safety. His feet were just getting tender. And I think I could have been on top of that more had I had two full usable hands for the first few days.
Yeah, Well, sure glad to see you in Nome. We were worried there for a while.
Well, I was worried, too. I, like I say, the second or third day into the race, I didn't know whether I was going to make it. When I met up with my doc in Iditarod, he gave me some long-lasting antibiotics in my butt and gave me a relatively clean bill of health to continue doing what you were doing, and that got me here. So, and then, of course, the weather kept throwing us challenges. It was wet, which makes things cold, even though it's not cold temperature-wise. You know, being damp is a miserable thing. Our gear is not really designed for rain. It's designed for snow and cold. But in the long run, I think that kind of weather circumstance, even though it was hard for the dogs, enabled me to finish the race because the race was slow and the temperatures were moderate.
Well, relatively slow. I mean, this is still 10 days here.
Well, no, like I say, I listened to Jeff's great interview. You know, as long as the rabbits are setting the record and have gotten here in under 9 days, we're not going to breed faster turtles.
Martin, Mayor Denise Michaels wants to say
hi. I didn't want to be a bad host.
Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you.
You made it.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You look great.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thanks.
Take care. I'll let
Thanks.
You stay.
All right. Want to get checked in?
Yes, please, Judge.
Let me go through the check-in process here.
See the mandatory gear. There's the cooker. There's the trail material.
This is
promotional material. What have you got?
Some of yours and some of mine.
Ah, a little of each.
See, that's what it took all trip long. Everything took longer. All the little, you know, sipping up a Coke,
yeah,
or something like that.
Oh, man.
I felt like I keep saying, I'm leading the handicap division.
Do you guys think he's going to get a special spot for his sled?
I'll hand that to Stu.
Thanks, Stu. Welcome to Miller.
Thank you.
I'll get you here.
Yeah, we can get that taken apart here.
Roan Bone, how you been, buddy?
This is how's the sled hold up?
Sled is great.
I think that's ours, and you
that's
got yours.
Watch that.
Want me to take the other one, Martin?
Yes.
All right. How's it going down there, Josh? You got anybody to talk to?
I'm standing right next to him, right there.
Oh, sounds good.
I can see the.
Where we?
So maybe it's as soon as he finishes this check-in process, we can ask him a question or two.
All right, sounds good.
Dog food, sleeping bag.
Dog food, sleeping bag,
food.
Heat, I can see.
That's 8-pound dog food.
Looks at least like 8 pounds.
Mandatory.
All right.
Obligatory stuff. And it's the sleeping bag.
Right, and you had some extra booties?
Oh, sled full of it, yeah. There's a whole booty bag in
okay.
there.
Okay. Then,
Martin,
if you would sign in, please. You finished this year's 2005 Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race in a total time of 10 days, 2 hours, 32 minutes and 40 seconds to finish in 13th place. Welcome to Nome.
Good to see you, too.
Good
to be in here.
Oh, yeah.
And
wouldn't miss it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Martin Boozer. And I think this is his son right here. It is, right?
Huh?
Is this your son? Ah, all right. It is his son. I thought so.
There's another one, but he probably is.
All right.
Take care of the dogs. So you want to take the sled down? I guess my wife is still stranded in White Mountain?
She's still machine guy.
Oh, okay.
Nothing's flying, so she's coming. She's gone by snow machine.
She was the checker.
Oh, she was the checker?
I called this morning and I called for the checker. And she came walking over, you know, I said, I had a bag full of medicine and ointments and stuff. Checker.
give this bag to my wife.
And it was her.
You know, sort of role reversal. I need
three
that in
champs
known.
In a row, that's really something.
Huh?
Amazing.
Just like, we got three champs in a row here. I mean, Doug is coming in. He's right by Swanberg.
Count the number of victories.
Yeah. It's 11 victories.
In a row. We were all sleeping in Elam. You know, having been through that top cock mess once or twice or 17 times before, we knew what was going to be like. So we all kind of rested, and there was Doug was in the middle, and I was on one side, and Jeff was on the other side. And somebody said, "Yeah, count the victories laying down." You know, all those young kids. I guess they ended up finishing in front of us. You know, they got more to prove than us gray-haired old timers. But it was really funny. You know, they. People blowing through and going through that mess. And, yeah.
Well, what was one thing Lance Mackey said as he came in today? He was saying he's looking at all the people behind him, and he said he couldn't believe it.
Yeah. Well, he ran a great race. Lance did an excellent job. You know, I knew what it would take. But I couldn't go. I couldn't go from Koyuk to White Mountain. My dogs needed a rest in Elam. I was underpowered, and Ed left me standing still, and I know better than to go into a storm like that with a underpowered team. I needed to give him a break, you know. I there was nothing I could do other than being stupid and you know, keep on going. But sometimes you got to just know when to take the foot off the pedal.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that means, you know, that means a lot of positions in this case, because the race is shaping up to be so competitive and so exciting. This was probably one of the most exciting races, really, in the long run, because there was a lot of people making attempts at the lead. There was a lot of different strategies at work, and a lot of incredibly powerful teams. And you know, it's what am I, 27th, and I'm still, you know, within a few hours of the leaders. So that's exciting for the sport. I think that's exciting for Nome and for the Iditarod, is that so many teams come in, bang, 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 and it will be like that. In the future, it'll be like that. Now, this is exciting, you know. You won't be able to pick the winner anymore, like we used to in White Mountain. You know, I mean, Ed almost pulled it off.
Yeah.
And the greater the strategies vary, the bigger the gambles and the bigger the chances are. For, you know, we were talking in White Mountain. If you have a 7 mile an hour dog team, it's going to take you 10 hours to get here. If you have a 10 mile an hour dog team, it's going to take you 7 hours to get here. So that's 3 hours between White Mountain and Nome. If I get to White Mountain next year and somebody else is 3 hours into their layover, that might be another exciting finish. And that's a maturation of the sport. I think that's really exciting and cool.
Do you think, given this race as you look at it, say in the last 4 days maybe, is there anything that anyone could have done differently that would have resulted in a different result? I made a move earlier, maybe, or
no,
or?
I don't know. I thought Doug is sandbagging. Doug was not showing his cards at all, but he's training up a young team that he has a multi-year plan with. And the way Doug and Ed came into Shaq Tulik, and looking at the times and looking at the speeds of Sorley, I thought they could pull it off. I actually thought Sorley had just lost the race when I saw those teams come into Shaq Tulik, and I didn't know who was going to win. Was it going to be Jeff, Doug, or Ed?
Mm-hmm.
Those three teams looked really, really strong. And, well, good job, Sorley. I mean, we've been joking. I have a little Sorley myself.
Terrible joke.
You know, you make a lot of fun now.
Martin, it's great seeing you.
Thanks.
Very
you what?
Ed Eaton referred to you and King as the sacrificial lambs on the road to trying to catch up to Sorley.
All right, ladies
true?
And gentlemen, Doug Swingley will be the next mushroom.
Well, we were,
and,
you know, when I look
is,
back at a race,
this side of the Nome River.
I
so
look at the people that were a factor. And there was not too many people that were factors in this race. Robert Sorley is a factor in this race. He won, you know. And there's very few people that scared him. So you should ask him who he was ever scared of in this race. Mm-hmm. And those are the people, those are the people that had a say in this race. They might have not made as much money as the fourth or seventh place, but they were a factor in the race. And that's one way, that's when you're racing, I think you get the respect from your peers by being part of the race, not just running to Nome. However, that doesn't pay me as well.
Because
you make your race and you try to win, and if you don't, you know, it's sort of win or lose. You win, if you win, you win big, and if you lose, you lose big. And I'm a good example. And that's what happened. Yeah.
Martin, Josh with KICY here. Do you think it was the lack of dogs in the storm that caused you to fall back behind in the standings? Because I was in Unalakleet when you came in a strong second. What do you think happened there?
Yeah, I just got underpowered. I just made those long runs, was a little underpowered. Couldn't help my dogs as much as I would like to, so just keep on trying, you know.
Yeah. Well, we're glad to see you made it safely.
Thanks.
All right, so it sounds like Doug Swingley is going to be the next musher here into the shoot in about 10 or 15 minutes or so. So we can take it back to you, Neil, unless Irene, you have anything up there on scaffolding.
Nope, I don't have anything to add.
All right, we'll come back then when Doug makes the trip back.
And this is Lon Swanson. We're going to go out to the Iditarod finish line, and there's another Iditarod musher coming in.
Yep, Doug Swingley has finished. He's taking care of his dogs right now. So they usually do that first, take care of their dogs.
All right, and so far, let's see, finished Martin Boozer. They haven't updated this since Jeff King and Martin Boozer have finished. So, and now Doug Swingley is 14th, and says he has 10 dogs. Is that the number you counted out there?
Yes, I think I counted 10.
Okay. And
you would think I could count that high, but, you know, the excitement of the moment and everything, you count and you forget.
So Dennis and Josh are out running around that crowd?
Dennis is back up here. He's trying to put this bracket on our scaffolding here.
So it's he's probably been wrestling that all day. Anyway.
Do you have Josh hooked up there?
You know, I'm not sure which microphone he's on.
He's on the Marty.
Ah. Okay, I do have.
Yeah, I'm not hearing him yet, but he's on the Marty.
Okay, is he interviewing someone?
Well, he's not. I think he'd like to. He's right there where they're interviewing Doug Swingley right now, and he's standing right there next to the sled.
Okay.
So we are.
I can turn him up if you.
Yeah, turn him up. Turn him up.
Go for it.
Okay, there you are. There you are.
We'll get you in this conversation going on.
Obviously, the best two-year-old that I've been running started to show some distress, and so I ran up and checked her. She was having difficulty breathing, so I took her into Elam and talked to the veterinarian. We both agreed that it was a case of pneumonia. She probably had aspirated something, and had it happened farther out from a checkpoint, she might not have made it. It was still touch and go. It was a very acute case of aspiration pneumonia, and I just stayed there and helped, and I didn't feel like I wasn't going to gain or lose anything by not being with her. So, but you know, my traveling partner Bjorner finished fourth, you know, so I probably fourth to 14th, you know. I still think I came out ahead because it looks like Nellie's going to be fine. So.
So it's Nellie.
Nellie, yeah.
Did you teach Mr. Anderson anything about the trail?
Well, Bjorner, a lot of people don't know, Bjorner came over and worked at my kennel in 2001. and took all those secrets back home to Norway. So I've known Bjarne for a long time, and it was good to see him again. And we had a good time traveling together. We were fairly matched in speed, and I obviously, you know, I liked the 2002 puppy teaching thing, so it was fun traveling with Bjarne and giving him some little insights on Iditarod. And messed up his schedule a little bit for his Norwegians had a schedule for him, but I think they're probably pretty proud of him as the end result. But we were to both go straight through Elam, and I don't think he even was aware that I had the emergency because I parked away in the back, and I watched him come in and go and wished him good luck.
How did your team do in the heat?
You know, obviously we live in the south where it's a lot warmer, and I always tell people that the Iditarod typically in Alaska in March is the same kind of weather Montana is all winter, so it's not a big issue for my team. Obviously, they don't like it, but I don't worry about them. They're not going to suffer any kind of an extreme acute reaction from it, so it doesn't bother me. And it was just an eye-opener to see the caliber of this team and as carefully as I was running them. And I think at one point we pulled into Evil Island, Bjarne, I think we were fifth and sixth, I think, and totally didn't expect it. You know, I mean, it was all because of the fact that this team was running so much faster than all the other teams, especially on the coast, that I know Martin made the prediction in Shaktulik that it was either going to be me or Jeff because of the speed of my team was much, much more dramatic difference from Sorley, but Martin at that time didn't know why I was sandbagging, but I think that maybe next year he'll figure it out.
Hey, well, why don't you get checked in? Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
All right, Doug, why don't you go through the gear here.
Okay. My snowshoes are here.
I see the snowshoes.
So he's going through the official check-in process here.
Bag is here.
Sleeping bag.
You're going to need this cooker here. My heat's right in the bottom of my
cooker. Okay, I can see that.
Axe
that
here.
Axe handle. Somebody's going to fool me and just carry an axe handle, huh?
Yeah, well, that's all this is. It's really just an axe handle.
All right, there's trail material.
And I've got my vet book here. I don't know if they want my vet book or not.
Yeah, they do. There's Stu. We'll get it to him.
Okay.
Stu? We'll get him up here in a minute.
Okay.
Get that.
Is that, you got
I need,
Mandatory food right here.
Okay, I can see that there. That's it. All of the required material is present. Doug Swingley, congratulations on this year's Iditarod. In a time of 10 days, 2 hours, 59 minutes and 3 seconds, you finished in the 14th position. Welcome to Nome.
Thank you.
There we go. Doug Swingley, number 14 into Nome this afternoon. So there we go.
All right.
Are you going to?
We'll see if we can get a quick question with him. He's changing some of his stuff.
Oh, no problem. I didn't have any problem.
Doug, quick question.
For the weekend.
Quick question for you, Josh, with KSUI. Now, you were just saying you worked with Bjarne earlier. What do you think is part of what is making Team Norway so strong, knowing some of their members pretty well? Why do you think they've been able to do so well over the past couple of years?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. You know, it all started when Sven Engholm started coming over. Norway took a dramatic interest in Iditarod. They started to invite a lot of very influential and important people over to their symposiums, and they started to dig deep into the minds of all the Iditarod champions, and Bjarne coming over to me wasn't, you know, just coincidental. So, you know, I think that they're astute at what they're doing. They're obviously, we're running against a country. They're picking all the best dogs are being given to them, and they get to go through them, but it's a big teamwork thing. You know, they're all three working together, Bakken included, to make it work. So I obviously, you know, don't necessarily agree with how they're running rest schedules, and I think that Robert was very suspect to me. Had I have had an adult team and blown through Shaktulik, I think it would have been very difficult for him to deal with me. So
what do you think is going to have to happen for a veteran like you or Martin or Jeff to come in and get another win, or do you think it's going to be somebody new like Lance Mackey or somebody else who hasn't had their time yet?
There's a lot. You know, Lance is a great story. You know, I mean, he's one of many that really want this, maybe way worse than the three of us. We were sitting in Elam laughing about it. You know, everybody else was out on the trail. We were all sitting there, 11 championships sitting there. But, you know, the old guys are still the guys I respect. And at one point we were fourth, fifth, and sixth and all had the opportunity to win or whatever. And, I mean, it's a good group of people, and it's a very distinguished group. It's just going to take one of us to get a team together, to put in the work and the effort to make it work. You know, obviously Jeff has got his family, Martin has his family. I love flying airplanes. We've all got distractions, and I have just now, you know, kind of pulled back from flying and committed to rebuilding this. That's why Melanie is out there with a young team, and why I patiently got these guys to the finish line in a remarkable 10 days. So it's. Don't look past Doug Swinger for 2006.
We won't. Thanks for talking with us. Welcome to Nome. We're glad you were able to get here safely.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
All right, thanks. All right, that's Doug Swingley, number 14. Three or four time, I don't have these stats in front of me, and I, for some reason, have not memorized it as well as I should have, but multiple winner, Doug Swingley, here in Nome.
All right. Irene, any other things or?
Well, I have the bio here, and Doug Swingley is a four-time champion.
Four-time champion.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yep. So yeah, I think that wraps it up from here.
All right, Lon, can you tell? Is there anybody else headed in?
I'm in the studio, Josh.
Okay.
And
is there anybody else that's expected in time-wise in the upcoming future?
Let's see. Doug Swingley, Jessica Hendricks is out of safety at 2:30. She was out of safety, and let's see. So that would put her. If she left at 2:30, she should be.
She said in the near future. All right. Well, we'll keep you updated.
Okay. And then Tyrell CV. He was the next. Oh, let's see. I'm reading times as they come out here.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Safety. The last one out of safety was Tyrell Seavey at 4:15.
Okay, great.
And Jessica Hendricks was ahead of him by a couple hours.
So we'll have some more mushers, and we'll keep everybody informed as to when they come in.
Okay.
And as people are getting off work, feel free to come down and check out the mushers that are coming in.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
And we'll continue with our regularly scheduled program.